This is Tanya Mosley, co-host of Fresh Air. You'll see your favorite actors, directors, and comedians on late-night TV shows or YouTube. But what you get with Fresh Air is a deep dive. Spend some quality time with people like Billie Eilish, Questlove, Ariana Grande, Stephen Colbert, and so many more. We ask questions you won't hear asked anywhere else. Listen to the Fresh Air podcast from NPR and WHYY.
What's up, Chicago? I'm Erin Allen. This is The Rundown. And this week, we're celebrating the 40th anniversary of Chicago's very own genre of music, house. Earlier this week, I talked to DJ Lady D, and she's definitely an icon as far as DJing and house and disco music. But today, we're going to talk to a straight-up pioneer of the genre of house. DJ and producer Erwin Chip E. Eberhardt. Most people recognize Chip E. as one of the first people to actually sculpt house music into what it is today. He's going to tell you exactly how in a minute. But before all that, Chip E. was born and raised in Chicago. What's your intersections? Throw out some streets.
Some streets. 77th and King Drive is pretty much where I first, I think that's where we first lived. And
he says he was a short kid and a little bit of a loner.
I like chess. Chess, and I like skateboarding. This would have been 70s. Skateboarding was big. And
I read in an interview that you were trying to be like a photographer and a reporter.
That was another weird thing. When other kids wanted G.I. Joe, I wanted a 35mm camera.
But he got into music, specifically dance music, before all that.
I was probably about 8 or 9 years old, and there was a disco on the north side of Chicago called Dingbats. And it was a big, regular disco. But on Sundays, they had a kiddie disco. So in the daytime, parents could drop their kids off between like the ages of 9 and 12, and kids, you know, would get dressed up and dance the disco music, just like Saturday Night Fever.
Now, the story of how Chip E. started producing music begins at Imports Etc., which is one of the most iconic record stores in Chicago. It's tucked in a garage in Printer's Row, which is where he met Eric Bradshaw.
Eric Bradshaw was the head of Vertigo, and he allowed me, this young kid, to come to this high school party at the Loft. It was kind of a underground venue. It was on 14th in Michigan, and I can remember the song, and I can remember the DJ. The DJ who was playing that night when I walked into the Loft was Alan King of The Chosen Few.
Wow.
Alan King playing a song called Disco Circus by a group called Martin Circus. And that became one of my very favorite songs ever for disco. Yeah, I think the best way to describe my lack of talent starting off was I couldn't mix milk with cereal.
Oh, no.
My blends sounded, they were either what we call a slam, where you just slam over to the next one, or it sounded like gym shoes in the dryer.
Oh.
I hung out with some folks at Imports Etc., which was the really big DJ record store, and they heard my mix, and they said, you know what, we can help you with this. And really just learning the basics, how to count beats, understanding phrasing and measures, and it just all made sense.
Chip went on to Columbia College, where he studied marketing and music theory. That's where he met Kurt Landrum, which ended up being pretty important because the two of them got a crew together called Mirage, featuring Chip E. And they ended up creating what Chip E says is the first ever house record. Now, I would be remiss if I didn't say that there is some debate about this. You can go ahead, do some Googling around, read more about the early stages of house in the mid-80s. For now, we're going to keep going with this record Chip is talking about. It's called Jack Tracks, and it was released in 1985. I think most people believe that house as a genre emerged somewhat organically, like the story we hear about hip-hop or gospel. But in our emails leading up to this interview, you said, quote, my contribution to creating the genre was 100% intentional and not accidental, end quote. Can you say more?
Yeah. So a lot of people make the assumption that house music just accidentally happened, but it didn't. It was a, like I said, there was a house, there was an existing house culture, but there was no genre of house until Kurt Landrum, Joe Smooth, Eric E.T. Taylor, and myself put together the Jack Tracks EP, which is on a label we called House Records, and the very first song on it was called It's House. Nobody had ever put house on a label before or on a record before this. And we intentionally created what we felt was a new type of music. It's not just dance music. It's not just the evolution of disco, but it was an engineered sound. That's why today, every single track on Jack Tracks stands the test of time, because it is the blueprint. We created something. We took the best part. We took the breaks and we extended them. We minimalized our vocals. We stripped it down. We made house music something special, and that's why you can play any record today and any modern dance music, and you can hear remnants of it. You can hear something from it. And some people stole directly from it.
You know, that makes me think of Jay Dilla. Just when you talk about the stealing, do you feel like you always got your propers, you and your crew, Kurt and et cetera? Yeah.
I don't feel that we've ever gotten our props, our proper respect on our contribution. It seems like a lot of times we become a side note. And I take some blame for that in a couple ways. One, I dropped out of house music for a number of years. We started in, 84, 83, 84. But by 89, I kind of felt worn out. I was not ready to accept the fame and everything that went with that. I was starting to become a person who I didn't like, a person I didn't want to be. I just wasn't old enough. And we see this in a lot of different genres of music and a lot of artists. I wasn't old enough to be an artist and still be a good person. So I decided between the two, I was going to stop being an artist and just concentrate on being a good person.
What would you say were the things that you were doing and behavior you were kind of talking about where you felt like this is sacrificing my morals a little bit?
Having 17 girlfriends at one time, I would say that was a lot.
And this was because of kind of what you experienced as this house DJing lifestyle that you were living.
Yeah, it was. Nobody was saying no. And it was too much at one time. And I wasn't able to juggle it all. And I found out that I was hurting people's feelings. And that made me feel bad. I didn't want to hurt the. Yeah, it was. It was a messy time. I remember of the 17, I remember three were Latinas.
This is literally 17.
Literally,
I'm thinking you're exaggerating. Okay, go ahead. One was Latina.
There were three Latinas.
Three Latinas.
Actually, there were more, but there were three Latinas. Well, one's name was Maria, another one's name was Mari, and the other's name was Marisol. And when one of them would call, my roommates be like, yeah, one of them M's called. I'm like, ah, great. I can't call anybody back. And Aaron, you make me be bad. I'm giving this. Yeah, like somebody dropped
Maria, Marty, and Marisol.
Yes.
Sorry to y'all.
Really sorry. My apologies.
And all the rest of the 14 folks.
Yeah, and the other 14. Yeah, it was bad. Like I said,
okay.
But I like I said, I dropped that lifestyle. Pretty soon afterwards, got married to my high school sweetheart. And we'll leave it at that.
And so you dropped out and it was good for you and for your family, but you feel like it maybe had an effect on you being recognized for what you did for the genre.
So for me, dropping out kind of early, 89, it left room for other people to walk in and make some revisionist claims and say, Oh yeah. No. I did that the first house record. It was this or it was that. And, but the discography tells the truth. And also the labeling tells the truth, and the music itself tells the truth.
Time to jack. Time to jack.
Tell me about getting back in, coming back to DJing.
So I'm hanging out minding my own business.
And what were you doing while you were married? You were.
Yeah, I did a number of things. I was a lot of people don't know I was a police officer for a while.
Okay.
I said I'm very a big respect for law and order, and I still do. I like to help people, and I still do.
Wow.
So I had a career in law enforcement for a while. I did computer application design for a while. And then one day I'm just minding my own business, and Joe Smooth calls me and he says, "Hey, I'm here on some island. I just ran into Carl Cox, and he loves your music and all this. And he wants to get in touch with you." And I'm like, "Yeah, sure. Give him my number." And so we just all kind of hit it off. And we decided we're going to make a record. So I ended up flying out to Australia, staying a couple of weeks with Carl. We remade Time to Jack. We came back and we released it. And I ended up playing for the first time at Ultra Music Festival, and I played there for a couple of years. And it just felt right to be back. I felt like I'd never left the bicycle as far as the turntables.
Wow. When you are DJing, how do you think about the experience you want to create for people? Is there a through line that has never really left since Jack Tracks?
Yeah, since Jack Tracks. It's usually the people who you're going to be the most intimate with are the rail grabbers. Those are the ones who are right up front. Those are the ones who have, and it may not be for you even. If you're not the closing DJ, it's probably not for you. But the rail grabbers are going to be your harshest critics, and they're going to be your most passionate critics as well. They're going to let you know right away. They have no shame. They have no filters. They probably haven't gone to the washroom for 5 hours, you know? They're making a lot of sacrifices for their position. And when you see those people in the front, you better be giving it to them. So I always concentrate on the front row first, but I'm looking all over. I'm looking at everybody. I'm making sure that, people are looking like they're moving and grooving, and that's a big art to the DJ is you've got to be able to read a crowd. You've got to be able to know when it's time to change the tempo, when it's trying to change the groove.
I want to ask you about going back to some of those origins of house. Jesse De La Pena was a DJ with our sister station Vocalo for a long time. And in the short time that our work overlapped here at the station, he taught me a lot about the history of house music. It's commonly known as a genre that developed among Black people, but there are a lot of Latine folks involved as well. How did you see that developing and growing as you were a part of the evolution of house?
Oh yeah, there. I mean, the Chicago Latin community. Yeah, they were definitely. I mean, half of the parties I was doing were more Latin based. I remember once the first club that I got a gig at was called Latin American Club in Indiana across the border. Yeah, but there's always been. I mean, guys like this. Besides Jesse De La Pena, Ralph Rosario, Armando Rivera. There's just been ton of and great, just great DJs out there. DJ Sneak. I would say it's always been, Black, Brown, and then let's not forget that we have a lot of influences in the queer community, the LGBTQ community.
Yeah.
And we can't discount that because there are a lot of different people in the community. And that's what house music is house music is community. When you think about country music, you really, it's starting to change. But, 20 years ago, when you think about country music, you're definitely going to think about a white guy with a cowboy hat.
Sure.
And 20 years ago, you think of classical music. You're going to think, about somebody with a bow tie, and again, a lot of money, in the Rolls Royce, looking for Grey Poupon. When you think of rock music, you're going to think about long hair, When you think about rap music, you're going to think about baggy pants and all this. But house music really crosses over ethnicity, gender, over gender identity. Everybody's welcome in house music. Everybody can be a house music lover. Everybody can be a house music artist. Everybody can be a house music producer. House music is the world.
Chip, I got one last question for you. I've heard you talk about going to other DJ sets and just enjoying the experience of being in the crowd dancing. And I wonder if you can describe that feeling of just being at a really good set and getting lost in the vibes.
Well, I still love music and I still love to dance. I practice martial arts. I skateboard. Still do a little auto racing, but I still keep doing all the stuff, that I wanted to do when I was a teenager that I couldn't. And I probably dance more now than I did before because a lot of times I was behind the decks. But I love going to a venue and hearing other DJs play because I love new music. And sometimes people ask me to play old music. I'll play a couple, but I think that a good DJ plays music you love. A great DJ introduces you to music you love. I think the best way to put it, my good friend Lori Branch, it's a love fest. It's a love fest. That's the way she describes it. And I think that really puts a pin in it.
Chip E is a DJ, producer, film director, martial artist, photographer,
Amateur magician.
amateur magician, and a pioneer in the development of house music. Chip, it has been a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me, and I'm looking forward to seeing everybody at Wicker Park Fest.
WBEZ is a programming partner of Wicker Park Fest, and Chip E is headlining on Sunday night. He's scheduled for 8:45 p.m. on the South Stage if you want to see him live in action. And that's it for today. Justin Bull and I produce The Rundown. Ariel Van Cleve is our editor and executive producer. Our theme music is by Louis Weeks. And a lot of the other music you heard on this episode is by Chip E, used with his permission. Check out his 1985 album, Jack Tracks, as well as his 2018 remixes with Carl Cox called Time to Jack. The Rundown is produced by WBEZ Chicago and is a part of the NPR network. If you love the show, please rate us, review us. It helps more people find The Rundown. And we love hearing from you. Email us with your thoughts, questions, anything you want to hear on the show. You can email therundownpod@wbez.org. I'm Erin Allen. Thank you for listening. I'll talk to you on Friday.